Hey, good afternoon, everybody. There is a halacha that we find in a number of places throughout Shas that we refer to as Berov Am Hadras Melech. But what's interesting is that it doesn't mean the same thing in every place. And it somehow ties into this week's parsha, as we'll see in a minute. Number one, we have a Gemara Meseches Yuma on Daf Ayin, where the Gemara tells us the following statement. On Yom Kippur, one of the highlights of the Avoda was that the Kohen Gadol would take out a Sefer Torah, and he would read certain selections from the Sefer Torah in the presence of the entire community that was assembled in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Kohen Gadol would read that Kriya on Yom Kippur, Bifnei Kal Ha'am Ha'omdim Ba'azara, he would read it in front of all those who were there, because Berov Am Hadras Melech, because we assume that there's some sort of enhanced way of performing the mitzvah when it's done in the presence of many. Similar to a comment that's made in the Medrash, where the Medrash says, Mitzvahs HaOmer, when they used to cut down the Omer in order to sacrifice it for the Karban HaOmer, Kol HaYaros HaSmuchos L'Sham HaYim Meskansos L'Sham, all of the communities that were considered to be in some way affiliated with that community, they would come as well, Kedei Sheyehei Niktzar Be'esek Gadol, in order that it should be done with a lot of people present at the time of the mitzvah, Shenemar Berov Am Hadras Melech. So this is category number one, where we find Berov Am Hadras Melech presents itself, where you have one individual who's doing a mitzvah, it has nothing to do with anyone else, but there's some sort of enhanced form of the mitzvah when it's done in the presence of many, even though they have no participation at all in the mitzvah that I am doing. Example number two that the Gemara gives, and here we find a slightly different way that it is applied. Number two says the Gemara, Emsechem daf samach dalet amid beis. There were many Kohanim who were necessary to do the work in the Beis HaMikdash. So you had one Kohen used to clean off the Mizbeach, and one Kohen used to offer the Karbanos. One Kohen, everybody used to do different things. However, says the Gemara, when you had Karban Pesach being offered on Erev Pesach, you had probably thousands of Kohanim there, and millions of Jews walking through the Beis HaMikdash. So we had to have some sort of system. So the Gemara says, we used to have a long line of Kohanim. The line would begin by the one who was shechting the Karban, and the line would end at the Mizbeach. So you would shech the Karban, you would accept the blood in a vessel, you would pass that vessel on to the next Kohen, who would pass it to the next, to the next, to the next, and then the last one who's closest to the Mizbeach would then pour it onto the Mizbeach. That is what the Gemara says, because Berov Am Hadras Melech, because we assume the more people involved in a mitzvah, the greater the mitzvah is enhanced, the more beauty there is to the mitzvah, and therefore we try to have as many Kohanim involved as possible, because Berov Am Hadras Melech dictates that that's what we should do. And the third time of Berov Am Hadras Melech that we have, meaning the first category that we said is a person who's doing a mitzvah himself and no one else has any participation, it should be done in the presence of many. The second category that we have is all the people involved have some sort of participatory role and all of them are fulfilling a part of the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of walking the blood to the Mizbeach, so we have many people being a part of that process. And finally, the Gemara gives us a third application of this rule, and that is the Gemara in Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Gimel, where you have all of the boys in the yeshiva sitting on Matzai Shabbos learning. And now it comes time for Havdalah. So the question is, how should the Havdalah be made? Should we make one big Havdalah for the entire community, where everyone has to be quiet, and then we're going to make at once? Or should we make Havdalah that every Chavrusa, every small group, should make Havdalah on their own, then they'll pass it on to the next one, and everybody will make by themselves? And the Gemara says, maybe you should say, Echad Mevarech Lekulam. Maybe one should make on behalf of all of them. Why? Because we assume, Berov Am Hadras Melech. If you have many people that have to perform a mitzvah, it's best that one do it on behalf of everybody instead of each person doing it on their own. So that's a third application in which you find, again, a very different situation of Berov Am Hadras Melech being applied. And this is something that the Magen Avraham writes as well in Hilchos Purim. He says, Purim night, we all have an obligation to read the Megillah. So instead of having breakaway minyanim where everybody's going to read by themselves in their homes, it's better that we all fulfill our mitzvah together as one, with one person reading on behalf of the entire community, because Berov Am Hadras Melech. The Mishneh Berurah extends it, and he writes, when you have an opportunity to daven in a shul, and you have a choice to daven in a big shul or to daven in a smaller shul. Again, it's assuming that all the factors are equal. So if in one shul they talk more than the other one, or if in one shul they daven a different nusach than the other one, and you're not comfortable davening there, whatever the reason is, but if all factors are equal, and you have the opportunity to go to one shul or the other shul, says the Mishneh Berurah, Berov Am Hadras Melech dictates, you should go to the larger shul, because Chazaras HaShatz is an obligation that we all have communally to do together. So I may as well fulfill my communal obligation in a more enhanced fashion instead of doing it in the smaller shul where I won't be able to do so. So the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Chaf Aleph, which is the Mitzvah of Leil HaSeder, there discusses about whether or not one is able to fulfill the Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by the venue of Shomea Ka'one. We know the Gemara says in Masechah Sukkah that there's this idea of Shomea Ka'one, that if one person says it and I listen, it's as if I've said it myself. So the Minchas Chinuch says, well, the same way we say that by brachos and the same way we say it by everything else, why don't we say that also by Leil HaSeder, that if a person performs the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by listening to somebody else say it, maybe that should be good enough. That's the discussion that he has. The Vilna Gaon actually comments in the Maaser Rav that he thinks it's preferable to go ahead and have one person say it on behalf of everyone, again, because of this consideration of Barov Am Hadras Melech. So we have this idea of Barov Am Hadras Melech in a number of different places. And the problem with this issue is, when you look at our Parsha, we have a pasuk in Parshas Ekev that says the following: Kol haMitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, all the mitzvahs that I have instructed you to perform, tishmerun laasos, you should be careful, you should be vigilant to perform all of them. Says Rashi on that pasuk, what does it mean? Im hischalta b'mitzvah, if you have started the process of a mitzvah, gemorosa, you have to make sure that you finish off that mitzvah. You don't just start it; you have to complete it. Shein haMitzvah nikreis ela al shem gomra, because the one who gets the credit for the mitzvah is the one who completes the mitzvah, as the Gemara learns from Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time that the Jewish people were leaving Mitzrayim, everybody was running around trying to get the spoils of Mitzrayim, but Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk says, chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. He was bothered with the bones of Yosef at Tzadik, that he has to go and retrieve them before they left the land of Egypt, and that's what he was doing. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu does not get the credit for burying Yosef at Tzadik, because in the end, he didn't do it. In the end, the Jewish people took over. He just did the beginning part, but in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu handed it over to the Jewish people themselves, and they're the ones who completed the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Ein haMitzvah nikres ela al shem gomra. And from here we learn in our Parsha, Kol haMitzvah, all of the mitzvah, which means from beginning to end, Rashi says, if you're expected to do a mitzvah, you should do it from the beginning to the end. Explains the Mesilas Yesharim, why is that the case? Why do we care? Why do we insist that somebody do the entirety of the mitzvah from beginning to end? He says the reason why is because the same way we have a concept of zrizim makdim in the mitzvahs, before a mitzvah is begun, you have to make sure to do it with alacrity, you have to give it a lot of attention and do it right away very carefully. So too, after you've started a mitzvah, the zrizim makdim in the mitzvahs applies then as well. And you have to have alacrity and attention given that you make sure to complete that mitzvah as well. So this is a major issue, because when you think about that, and then you look at Barov Am Hadras Melech, you try to figure out how do we jive those two concepts. On the one hand, the Gemara says here, Barov Am Hadras Melech, it's better to have more people involved. And when you have to do the Karban Pesach and Erev Pesach, you have to hand off the blood to one Kohen, to another Kohen, to another one, that's going to enhance the mitzvah by having more people involved. Yet when you look in our parsha, it says, no, whoever started the mitzvah should be the one to complete it. So I would have said, in the Beis HaMikdash, when you have somebody who shechts a karban and accepts the blood, he should be the one to finish off his mitzvah, bring it to the Mizbeach, and offer the blood on the Mizbeach. Why is he handing it off to someone else? This is the question of Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna, and it's a very difficult question to answer. It's really not so simple, because he really raises a very difficult issue in Halacha, how to figure out where we say one principle applies and where perhaps the principle might not apply. So we know that this idea of Maschil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar, whoever begins the mitzvah has to finish it, we know that that comes up very relevant in Hilchos Chodesh Elul, where we know in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, the Mechaber writes, HaMispalel Slichos, the person who starts off davening Slichos, Mispalel Kol Hayom. You're supposed to daven the entirety of the tefillah throughout the day. Not only that, the Magen Avraham says, if you have a conflict between who should daven Shachris, and one option is the person who daven Slichos for the Amud, and option B is a person who has Yartzeit that day, says the Magen Avraham, the person who daven Slichos takes precedence. Why? Because he started the mitzvah sayom. He started saying the Slichos, and therefore he should continue to say. What's a little bit difficult about this is that the Shulchan Aruch says you should daven Ma'ariv as well, which is not clear. Does he mean Ma'ariv the night before? Does he mean Ma'ariv the night after? And why would Ma'ariv be connected at all to the Shachris Slichos that you daven in the morning? How exactly is this halacha to be understood? But basically, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say very clearly that a person should make sure that if you start the mitzvah, you should be the one to complete it. And therefore, whoever was the one designated as the chazan for the slichos is the one who should continue to daven the rest of the tefillah that day as well, both shachris and mincha. We assume that you have precedence to the yamid before somebody else who has a shloshim or a yard site. You are the one who has the right to the yamid. There is a famous question that's discussed in the Pischei Tshuva and by many other achronim, and that is, what happens when you have a shidduch? And we know that a shidduch sometimes doesn't always happen naturally by itself. Not always do the boy and girl meet each other on their own. Sometimes you have a shadchan. This is not a new concept. This is hundreds of years old. So the Pischei Tshuva and Chosha Mishpat discusses what happens when you have a shadchan who is involved in making the boy and the girl meet each other, and they start to go out with one another, and now things are going wonderfully, and now they drop the shadchan, now they're on their own, and things are moving along, and now there's an issue along the way that happens later where they're about to break up, and a new person jumps in and gets involved and puts them back together, and in the end, that second individual is the reason why they ended up getting married. So who deserves the money for shadchanus? Now, money for shadchanus is assumed to be real money that's deserving of a person who's involved in a shidduch. This is not something that's a small issue. The Chafetz Chaim, it is said that when the Chafetz Chaim used to buy his Dalet Minim every year, he said that he was nervous. Maybe the money that he got during the year, he wasn't worthy of accepting. If somebody gave him money for something, he felt maybe he wasn't worthy of getting it. But he said, money that I got for making a shidduch, that's 100% deserving to me, and I deserve every penny of it. And he said that for that, he used to save the money for shadchanus. He used to save that to buy his Dalet Minim to make sure it was really his. That's what I saw in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. So shadchanus is something that we really have an obligation to give money for. We really have an obligation to pay for. Even though Tosfos asked the question, I never asked you to make my shidduch. You came out of nowhere. You swooped in. You decided to introduce me to someone. It ended up enhancing my life. But I never asked you for the favor. So why am I obligated to pay for it? Tosfos discusses it because he says most people in the world would be happy for such a favor. And therefore it's as if I have implicitly hired you to do me a service, even though I didn't really do so with instruction. So that's what Tosfos writes, but I really have an obligation the same way I have to pay any other worker that does work for me. Tosfos writes, I have an obligation to pay a shadchan as well. What happens, says the Pischei Tshuva, not only a shadchan for a shidduch, but let's say I make a deal, somebody's looking for a job, somebody else can't find the job, and I make the two meet each other, what's called a headhunter, right? Is that correct? So you have a headhunter, and he finds people a job. So a headhunter, I guess that's what he gets paid to do. But let's say I'm not paid to do that. I just happen to be a big yenta, and I know somebody who has an opening. I know somebody else who's looking for something, and I figure out how to put the two people together. And now they're in discussions for the job. In the end, I leave them off, and somebody else clinches the deal. So who really gets the credit? These are discussions that are mentioned in the Pischei Tshuva and Chosha Mishpat. Why is it a Chosha Mishpat? Because it's a real Shaila and Dini Mamanus. It's a real question. Who deserves to be paid for doing that service? So the Pischei Tshuva writes, well, the Gemara says, Ein ha-mitzvah nikres ela al shem gomra. So therefore, the one who's really deserving of the money is not the one who made the couple meet originally and who set them up on the first date. It's the one who clinched the deal, who made them finish off the shidduch at the end. He's the one who gets the credit. And he's the one who should be paid. He's the one who gets all of our thanks for whatever service he provided. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in a tshuva, he says, this is a major discussion in Achronim. They say maybe it should be two-thirds, one-third, maybe it should be other percentages, but Rav Moshe writes, let's just back up a second. It's true that the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu started off with the mitzvah of burying Yosef at Tzaddik, and the credit in the end of the day goes to the Jewish people, not to Moshe Rabbeinu, because they ended up finishing, they buried him. But says Rav Moshe, look carefully at that Gemara, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, because Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to bury Yosef at Tzaddik, even though he didn't finish it, but the Gemara says the Ribbono Shel Olam felt so thankful to Moshe Rabbeinu for doing that, he said, you know, I'm going to pay him back. I'm going to be involved in burying him. If Moshe Rabbeinu lowered himself to bury Yosef, I'm going to go out of my way and lower myself to bury him, says our Moshe. That's not a bad payback. It means you get some sort of credit for being the person who started a mitzvah. You might not get all the credit, but at least you'll have God being the one to bury you when the time comes. Says Rav Moshe, how can you walk away from that Gemara and say, you get no credit for starting a mitzvah? Of course you get credit. Look what the Gemara says itself. Moshe Rabbeinu got credit, and he's the prime example. So he says, obviously, if you have a Shaila and Chosha Mishpat about who to pay, should it be this one or should it be that one? Rav Moshe says, you cannot completely disregard the first person who made the original shidduch between person A and person B, either when it comes to getting married, when it comes to a business deal, whatever it might be, that person certainly deserves credit. Do they deserve the overwhelming majority of the credit? Probably not. But do they deserve certainly some sort of recognition? That would be something that Ramosha says, Al pi dinei choshen mishpat, they're certainly entitled to, because you see from Moshe Rabbeinu himself that the Ribono shel Olam did go out of his way to pay him back for the beginning of the mitzvah that he created.